This is Sunday Focus, a weekly public affairs program that looks at the topics affecting our society and the people who are making a change in the community each and every day. The people who have vision for the next generation. Sunday Focus presents new challenges for us, keeping you informed with topics of local and regional interest. Now the host of Sunday Focus, Christine Manica.
Welcome back to another edition of Sunday Focus. I'm being joined by two gentlemen here, Mitchell Olson and Jack Unruh. They are part of this late night talk show in Sioux Falls, Late Night Boomin'. Well, good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
You know, this must be different for you. Good morning instead of good evening.
That's true. We are. I mean, the show is an evening show. I mean, I'm kind of a morning guy sometimes because I do radio sometimes in the morning. But Jack, he's the host of Late Night Boomin', and that is definitely happens at night.
Yeah.
Very. How are you feeling so far? You need some coffee, Jack?
My aunt always like, you should call it like midday boomin'. Like, midday? So no need to do this late night stuff.
Well, it's great to have you guys both here in the studio, and we're going to talk about Late Night Boomin'. But before we do any of that, let's get to know you guys a little bit. Jack, I'll start with you. Tell us who you are, where you're from, anything like that.
Yeah. Well, I am Jack. I'm from T, South Dakota, 605, born, raised, and sometimes paid. So I went to T High School, legendary place to be. And then I went to college for 1 year, and then I stopped going to college, and then kind of got going on this whole journey here. So it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Mitchell, you're next.
I'm next.
You're next. Some people are maybe a little bit familiar with you, but let's hear a little bit more about your story.
Sure. I grew up in Vermilion, South Dakota, and then I went to SDSU for college, where I studied music performance. And when I graduated with the degree from there, a week later, I went to New York City and lived there for 13 years and pursued theater, did a lot of theater there and emceed a lot of different things, and eventually came back here to South Dakota and just kind of re-fell in love with this area and with South Dakota and started doing things locally, both with radio and with TV and just really getting involved as much as I can, emceeing things everywhere around town and in different areas. So I just love Sioux Falls, love getting involved, love South Dakota, and was lucky enough to meet up with Jack actually in T, where we initially met in T because I was even working at that school there. So it's great that, you know, this show that he's created and that he's brought to Sioux Falls is such a unique show. So I was thrilled to have an opportunity to be part of it.
Yeah. Now, Mitchell, you're being a little modest here. You pretty much have an extensive TV background.
I did skip one thing.
Let's get to that. But first, I heard, so not only were you a cast member on Survivor
back in the day.
I've also heard that you were a casting director in one of my favorite shows, one of my mom's favorite shows. Tell me if I'm wrong, Deal or No Deal.
Yes, I was a casting director for Deal or No Deal.
Why did you cast me in it? Is that show still happening? And can I still be a part of it? Because I love that show.
Did you? Oh, I'm glad to hear you say that. Because some people will say, which show? And I'm like, you know, with the suitcases and the money. And
I have a keychain with the suitcase and it says Deal or No Deal on it.
That is one of
my favorite shows.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when it first came out, I was a huge fan of the show as well. So when the opportunity came to be a casting director for it, I obviously jumped at that chance. And so I was telling the story the other day to Jack where I pull up. I was casting the show in Nashville. They sent me to Nashville to cast it and for a couple episodes. And I remember pulling up and the amount of people wrapped around this city block, it's like they were wrapped around it twice to get into this, to this like bar where the auditions were being held. And so I kind of walk, the limo drives around the block once, so I see all these people and I'm walking in and some guy at the front of the line, he was like, yo, there's a line. And I want to be like, I'm the casting director. You can see yourself out.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So it was the first time I was ever thrown into a situation of trying to cast a show with that much time. And I realized I had about 10 seconds to cast each person based on the amount of time I had and based on the amount of people there. And that's a weird way of casting. I mean, you literally say to people, what do you do for a living? You know, tell me about yourself. And you have to make a snap decision in those 10 seconds, whether or not you think that they would be good enough to at least go to the next round where you can talk to them maybe further and later. You know what I mean? So you had to decide within 10 seconds whether you wanted to talk to somebody more and that they could be a viable candidate for the show as a contestant or not. And so that was a very tough couple of days, but a really exciting one. And I mean, I went on to cast the show for a few months, but that was a great opportunity. I loved casting that show.
Yeah. Now, my pride moment in my life is having Howie Mandel follow me on Twitter.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
I pride myself.
He did?
That. Yes.
That's really cool.
Oh, my gosh. Have you met Howie?
I did not meet him.
No,
I knew that about him.
Yeah.
No, I never actually met him or the girls who were
the suitcase girls.
No.
Yeah.
So I was strictly on the contestants that would be on the show. Now, the weird thing about that is I even heard that one of the suitcase girls was a very famous girl today. She is a princess of
Meghan Markle.
Yes.
I was
going
to ask you.
Can
so
you
didn't
believe
meet the princess of Sussex.
I know. I'm so sad that I didn't. But yeah, that's a crazy. That's a good question. But you know, the show is filmed. It was filmed at that time in LA, and so the cast team would take place, like I said, Nashville, all over. They would send me to different places and different pockets in America where people would come and line up and get cast for this show.
Gosh, you know, if you were the casting director, I'd say get me on that show. Get my mom on that
show.
Yes, because we wanted to beat that banker, man.
I know, right? Yeah. We would even play like kind of fake versions of it when we got down to the final few people, you know, to see how they would play and if they were, you know, gutsy and if they would go for it and things like that.
Yeah. Now, the reason why I bring that up, it's because Late Night Boomin' is a local TV show here in Sioux Falls. And you kind of gave us an idea of how you and Jack met. Let's go a little bit deeper into that. Jack, from my understanding, you actually created Late Night Boomin'. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was, I was just mowing the lawn one day. Literally, I was just mowing the lawn, and I had just been watching, like, some Jimmy Fallon clip or whatever. It was like Jimmy Fallon was singing this song with Billy Joel, and then I was, like, looking in the comments, and one of the comments said, like, Jimmy's got the coolest job in the world, and I was like, he does. He's got such a cool job. I was like, I wonder if we could do that because I was about to go to college in like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I knew at the college that I was going to that they had like this really cool hall that would suit a late night show. I was like, this would be cool. So could we do something like that at college? And so they just gathered a couple buddies together and said, hey, like, can we make a late night show? They're like, sure. So we just, you know, got some stuff together. And then that's where Mitch and I kind of met again because Sean Cable was our first guest on the show. And so they came and Mitchell helped us with Sean Cable and all that. And like we had this show and it was really cool. And then we decided to do another one. And so we did a second show and then we took it to one of the local networks here in town and said like, hey, what do you think? You should put this on TV. They're like, seems cool to us. And then we're like, sweet. And then that's when COVID like hit and like shut the whole school down and everything. And so everything just took a weird turn. But then that's where last summer we're just kind of like, hey, can we start this up again and do it even bigger and better and see what. And so that's kind of what led to this reboot of the show.
Yeah, right. If you are just listening right now, I'm being joined by Mitchell Olson and Jack Unruh of Late Night Boomin'. So this show has actually been going on a lot longer than I thought. And Jack, you took the words right out of my mouth. It's like a local take on a Jimmy Fallon late night program. So what got you interested in joining Jack on this project, Mitchell?
Well, so early on when he was wanting to do this project and came to me, we had talked about, or he was wanting to have Sean Cable be a guest. And so I kind of, I'm good friends with Sean Cable. We went to SDSU together. We were both music majors together there. And so he and I had, and Sean and I had hosted the Miss South Dakota pageant for 14 years in a row. So we were really good friends from that. And so I brought Sean to Jack and the the three of us plus Jack's brother and a few other friends kind of sat in a room and at the school there at your college and talked through all sorts of different ideas for the show and different bits we could do, different games and sketches, and just kind of, it was a really fun process. And so and then I saw that entire show all the way through and just really enjoyed every part of that, and even had some chances to chat with Jack in between, you know, just for coffee after that for a few months and talk about the show and just upcoming ideas that he had for it. So I was kind of always just wanting to know what was happening and keeping in touch with him and helping wherever he needed it. And eventually an opportunity came where he asked me to be a guest on the show. And then about a week after being a guest on the show, you asked if I would be interested in producing the show, which is actually, I hadn't thought about it till he had asked. And then when he asked, that was, it literally just made the most sense. It just seemed like my wheelhouse for some reason. And ever since joining in that way, which has been, you know, it'll be a year soon, but almost a year, it feels like that is my wheelhouse. Like for some reason, that position seems like a stronger position for me than any other position I've ever been in my life.
Yeah.
So whether it's a contestant on a reality show or a sidekick on a radio show or in any other, you know, job that I've had in my life, this one just seems to be the wheelhouse that just fits me best. And it's just something that I really enjoy doing. And it happens and it feels so natural and just so easy to me. And so I just have really enjoyed being part of it up till now, just, you know, in this capacity, and look forward to all the future things that we can do with it.
Yeah. I was going to say, Jack, back to you now. Who or what inspired you to create this show? Was it Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah. Well, it was like, I really enjoy watching Jimmy when this whole thing got started, and like, because I just thought it was like such, he always plays these fun games, you know, there's always something goofy going on in the show. And then I watched a little bit of Conan in there too, and he's just such a funny guy. Mm-hmm. And like, I was just like, oh, this would be so cool to do. And it's kind of funny talking about like when we were talking with Mitchell about like joining up for all this craziness. The first, I remember the first show that, so Mitchell becomes producer and he comes into to this first show, and this thing is just chaos. Mm-hmm. So we show up the day of the show and everything that could go wrong went wrong that day.
Oh boy.
And it was like horrible, but Mitchell like saved it, and like from that point on it was just legendary. It's like our back, we have like this backdrop or whatever is just totally wrinkled. Mitch was like, all right, we gotta get a steamer, we gotta get this thing steamed. And then
you know what you would say, get it steamed.
Yeah, get it steamed. Yeah, he's like, Randy, he's like, get the steamer. So he's steaming it. And then this was the night we were unveiling our new mascot to the crowd. And so we were having our mascot, but we had to rehearse like everything the mascot was gonna do. And one of the bits was we had all these little kids come up and just start beating this mascot until it like fell to the ground and crawled off stage. Like that was the bit. And so like we're trying to get all these things done, and Mitchell's like, we're trying to like coordinate all this stuff, and like my mom just described this scene as she walks into the theater like before the show. Mitchell and I are just screaming at the mascot. He's like, just crawl away, get beat by these bats. And like we're just screaming at this mascot. It was just total chaos. But no, like it, Mitchell like totally saved the day, and it was like such an awesome like experience. And so it's been really cool like since then, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. Not many people know that it actually does take a lot of time to create a show like Late Night Booming. So either one of you two, walk me through the process of creating the show. I guess I'll start with you, Jack.
Of like each episode individually.
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically the show's kind of unique in the way that we don't have any ads for the show. So when you watch it on TV or on YouTube, you don't see a single ad front to back. Because before we even start writing the show, we like to get a really cool sponsor for the episode. And so we'll write that sponsor in, because that, I mean, that's how the show is funded.
Yeah.
So it's like free online, free to see, free to come watch the show. So, you know, we make the money through sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
And these sponsorships, when you watch the show, it's like this seamless, you don't even know you're watching an ad, because we write the sponsor into the show through skits that we do in little fun segments. So that's how we kind of start. We say like, okay, so here's our sponsor. What are some fun things we could do? And then we sprinkle that throughout the show. And then obviously we plug our, who whoever our guest is. We've had every single show, we've had such an awesome guest this season, so that's been really easy to do. And then we have this awesome writing team that we kind of bat ideas around with and come up with scripts and fun ideas that we could do for the show. And then it's just making it happen from there. Once we have it written, it's just getting ready for show day. And then show day is just chaos.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing that, yeah, that's interesting about the show is without that commercial format is, you know, you're used to, you know, in between guests or something on a talk show where there's a commercial break where you can get up and have a break yourself. But what we've done is we just within the show, we weave in all sorts of sketches and fun bits that deal with our sponsors or with people who help with the program. So like it's done in a way that makes you feel like it's still part of the show and it's still funny and it uses our same characters and it has the same feel as the show. And so it just kind of gives the viewer 30 minutes of just nonstop entertainment where the advertiser is snuck in there and you don't even know you're being fed an ad. So that's kind of the idea of it. And it works so well. And that's why having the advertiser there first and knowing who they are first is so helpful when it comes to us building the show, creating it, writing it. We want the sketch to work well with them and with our guests and everything else. So it plays a huge part in our whole entire decision.
I want to point out, too, that it's not just one episode you're creating. It's two episodes in one day that you're filming, correct?
Yeah. Yep. So we shoot an hour-long show, unless it gets wild and we go a little longer than that. And then we shoot two episodes a night. So we'll split that whole thing into two 30-minute episodes, which will then cut up and go on air and all over online and everything.
And the reason, like, when he says it could go longer than an hour, the nice thing about going a bit longer is we don't have a test audience, so these bits that we're doing, we don't know if they're going to necessarily work. And sometimes the jokes aren't funny or something doesn't go right, and we want to have, we write more than what we need so that we can edit, you know, just the best parts of it out. And so when people come to the live show, that probably is a little confusing maybe, but I think it's kind of cool that they get to see a side of it where they're seeing the whole thing start to finish, and then when they see it on TV, they'll see the best parts of it that are, you know, edited in a way and makes it into this beautiful half-hour TV show.
Yeah, if you are just listening right now, I'm being joined by Mitchell Olson and Jack Unruh of Late Night Booming. Obviously, it's a lot of time to prep two shows in one night. Now, for anyone who doesn't know, this show can be watched live at the Washington Pavilion free, as well you guys mentioned. There's a lot of talent on and off stage, and there are a lot of people involved with the show. So who are they? Let's start with that awesome live band that you guys have.
Oh my goodness. Chuck Case and the Late Night Boomers. I always tell this story because it's the coolest story ever. When we were kind of creating this whole thing, Chuck and I had went to the same church like a few years ago. And so we were thinking, we're like, okay, we need a band for this thing. And I was just scrolling through my Facebook and I saw a post from Chuck and I was like, oh, Chuck. And so I called Chuck. I'm like, hey, Chuck, it's Jack. Remember me? He's like, oh, yeah, Jack. And so I told him, I was like, hey, Chuck, so we're doing this late night show. And this is what it is. It's kind of like the Sioux Falls thing. And he's like, oh, dude, this sounds really fun. And I was like, so what do you think? He's like, I tell you what, this sounds awesome. Let me get back to you. And I was like, okay. So the next day, I see my phone rings. It's from Chuck Case. I pick up, I go, hey, he goes, hey, Jack, so I got the theme song written. And I was like, from that point on, I knew, I was like, all right, this is going to be great. And so he's just assembled this like all-star band, like the best of the best in the area. And they just always bring the energy and they're just so fun to, like, literally my grandma will sit front row right in front of them and she'll stay 3 hours after the show just to listen to the band play, you know?
There you go.
Yeah, and so they're just so good.
No, they are. They're excellent. Yeah. And I just like what you said. I mean, that's one of the cool parts about this show is to have Chuck Case and the Late Night Boomers. I mean, that's worth the admission right there, which is free, by the way. But yeah, that's worth coming. But yeah, it's such a great show anyway. But to have them, it adds such a really, it just gives it a lot of professionalism and panache, you know?
Yes.
Now, I have been to one of the live shows at the Washington Pavilion for Late Night Booming. And while you are in the audience, you see a lot of, you know, production and camera guys just running around. So who are those guys? Are they a part of a group? Are they part of a school?
Yeah. So our camera team is awesome. They're the guys. They're from DSU. They're part of the film club up there. And we were just talking one day and we're thinking, you know, that there's just like DSU just had got this program or whatever. And so we went up there and met with all of them, and they just seemed like we watched a couple of their videos, and I mean, these guys just are awesome. They can, the videos they make, the content they create are just insane. And I mean, it's one thing to have like a really good camera team, but a camera team that understands also what you're doing creatively. Mm-hmm. And so like, they're so fun to have there because they just totally get it. And so those DSU guys are just, I mean, they're so fun and so great to be able to do this with on show day and, you know, be able to see them. And yeah, it's been great to have them.
I was going to say, so they're not random people that you just dragged out the streets.
Yeah.
And
please.
Be our stagehand over there.
Yeah, can you press record for us? Yeah, no, they're so good.
Now, besides watching it from the live audience, Late Night Booming, you can also catch it locally here on TV. So, Mitchell, why don't you talk about the channels where people can watch it at?
Sure. So it's on Dakota News Now, so you can watch it on Fox at 9:30 at night. You can watch it again on NBC, which airs right after Saturday Night Live, which I think is a perfect spot for us, actually.
Yeah.
It just rolls right into that. So those are the two places that you can watch it right now, but you can also, on Saturday nights, we also air it at the same time on YouTube. So you can go to our YouTube channel and find it there, Late Night Boomin' with an N, Late Night Boomin'.
There you go. Now, I know you guys are about to wrap up filming season one. Are there any chances for season two? Will there be a season two, if you can say that?
We've already been trying to build season two, you know, even before we're done with season one, because we've just, I mean, it's been such a fun time. I mean, everybody's just had such a fun time doing it. And what we're going to be looking for is we're looking for companies that really want to be part of it and want to help build this second season and do kind of this cool. Now that we have this season one just about filmed, we think, you know, it might be kind of a nice opportunity to be able to show everyone this idea. You know, here's the first season, this is kind of what we're going for, and then we'll be going out and looking for companies in the area that want to get involved and kind of want to help us build something really cool that's never been done around here. So that's kind of how we're going about building a season two. So we're really looking forward to that, because there's a lot of really cool companies around here and a lot of really cool things that we can do in the area. And when we go into a season two, we want to do it even bigger and even better than season one.
I was going to say, now that you have a season under your belt, anything that you would like to change in season two, maybe from a producer standpoint, what do you see, Mitchell?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, we love where we're at in terms of the location, you know, at the Belbis Theater, which is located in the Washington Pavilion, is such a cool theater just based on the size of it. And you said that you were there.
Yes, I was.
Nice thing about that theater is, like, even when you are in the balcony, you get this cool bird's eye view. I mean, it seats about, I think, 500 or 600 people. It seems like the right size of crowd for us. It seems like it keeps the stage the right dimensions. Like, everything about that theater is like perfectly fit. And when I used to live in New York, I used to go to shows like Conan O'Brien and David Letterman. I would go to those shows all the time. And the thing that was always so surprising was how small those theaters actually were. I remember Conan, I think it fit like 150 people maybe. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see how much bigger this theater actually is for some of the late night ones that you see on TV. But this show and what Jack's been able to do, it brings in an amazing sized crowd. I mean, they get a lot of people in there and a lot of support. And so that's a really fun thing to be part of. And the energy that's there is great. People come to the show super early because they want to get a good seat. And I think that that's awesome too. Just all of that energy and just people coming to the show. And
I will. Okay. Were you at the show that you went to? Was it the most recent show
It was with Ben and Patty.
Ben and Patty. Okay, yes. So that's what I was going to ask. The size of the theater doesn't work to our advantage when my brother decides to go buy a can of sardines.
It was a great idea.
It was a novel concept. Yeah.
Yes, in theory it was. But the idea was to just have them eat one, not to squeeze the juice all around.
I thought maybe cranberry sauce would have been a good alternative for the sardines.
Literally anything. People told me, like, that they could smell it from the back row, and that happened like right in the middle of the show. Yep. So like the whole rest of the time, we were just baking in this sardine scent.
You know, and that's why it's a test run. You know, you try it once, and then you say, "All right, we're never gonna do that again."
My mom literally told me, she's like, "Jack, I'm banning you guys from any more canned fish in this show."
I'd say the same thing. Mitchell Olson and Jack Unruh with Late Night Booming. Now, any ideas for guests and sketches? I have a suggestion for a sketch.
Oh, yeah.
Since I love this from Jimmy Fallon.
Yes,
I want to do Drinko. Get me on for a Drinko segment.
You want to play that game?
Oh, absolutely.
That game looks so gross.
I always wanted to do that. Absolutely.
They get some nasty concoctions.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to take one for the team. You know, we can get some Patron in there, get some pineapple juice. What is it? Pudding that they mix sometimes?
It's usually things like mayonnaise and buffalo sauce. It's like this big Plinko board, and then they have all these drinks options at the bottom, and so they drop two or three Plinko things in whatever cups it lands in. Yeah, and then they have to mix them and drink them.
Or egg roulette. I'd be okay with getting a little egg in my hair. Makes it shiny somewhat. I don't know.
Yeah. That's what all the supermodels are doing these days.
They're
playing egg roulette.
Now, before we wrap this up with you guys, off the top of your head, best part about being a part of Late Night Boomin'?
Oh man, I just enjoy the laughs, because I mean the laughs and the people that we've been able to meet through this whole thing has been such a great time. And like I don't know, we're always, anytime we have like a writing meeting, we can't get through it without cracking up in laughter. And then just all the awesome people that we've been able to meet through this whole journey, it just led to a lot of really cool people. And so I'm just really thankful, you know, the way the Lord has pulled this whole thing together. It's been really cool to see all that. So that's probably been my favorite part.
And yeah, like the laughs is definitely a favorite for all of us. But for me, being such a people person and just enjoying, and enjoying that side of, you know, meeting people. I mean, this has just served as such a great vehicle for me to do that and to get to know the people and to put it into a really creative way and a format to showcase people's lives in this way. I just think it's so much fun.
Yeah, once again, it's Mitchell Olson and Jack Unruh of Late Night Booming. Now, where can people follow you, keep up with the latest information about Late Night Booming and your social media?
Yeah, we're on YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, and Instagram, and just type in Late Night Booming. And that's where, you know, we post our full episodes on YouTube. So if you want to go, like, see an entire episode, they're all on YouTube as they release on TV. And then we post little clips and fun little audience things on all of our other ones as well. So that's where you can find us. And then like you said earlier, we're on Dakota News Now. We're on Fox at 9:30 p.m. on Saturday nights, as well as right after Saturday Night Live at midnight on NBC.
Or come to our last show, which is coming up, which is December 15th. And it's at, of course, the Washington Pavilion. It's in the Belbus Theater. It starts at 7 p.m. It's free, so there's no reason not to come. And the cool thing is, our guest that night, his name is Sean Coven from Covell. Sean Covell. He is the producer of Napoleon Dynamite. And then also we have Danica Michaels, who's a country music artist, and she'll be singing. So two really awesome guests. I mean, the Napoleon Dynamite thing, I love that movie. We all love that movie. So so writing the sketches and the parts for him as our guest. Oh my gosh. We just play a clip from the show and then say, how did you create that? How did you think of that?
Or Pedro.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Mitchell Olson and Jack Unruh, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much.
It's been fun.
Thousands of people contact InventHelp monthly about their invention or new product. Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Call InventHelp now. Best of all, the call and information are free. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential, explaining every step of the invention process. We create professional materials and submit them to companies who are looking for new ideas in your category. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review new ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We offer 3D modeling and animation, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to present client ideas to additional companies. Join people just like you who made the call to InventHelp. You have nothing to lose.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609. Again, 1-800-352-1609.
Sunday Focus is a public affairs program of Results Radio, Town Square Media, Sioux Falls.